Back to throw. Young almost falls down. Throws to the end zone.
What is going on, 49er faithful? Move the Chains podcast coming back at you with a third consecutive year of the NFC Championship version. Alex, what's going on, man?
What's up, Sean? What's up, 49er faithful? Like you said, Sean, third time in a row, our fourth in the last 5 years. So, man, I'm feeling good, man.
Feeling good, man. I always said, you know, I think even last year, or it might have been the Rams year, the year before, this is the last real weekend of football, in my opinion, right? The Super Bowl is Hollywood. The Super Bowl is just, you know, a lot of hoopla, celebrities. You know, your aunt that has never watched a down of football will be there watching with you, right? You're going to have family. You're going to have friends. You're going to have people that, you know, never, they don't care. They don't watch football, but it's the Super Bowl, right? Yeah. It's an American staple, right? It's just, you get 100... You get 110 million viewers watching it, whereas any other game doesn't go higher than 40. Wow. So, in other words, you have 70 million viewers that don't know what the hell they're watching. But anyhow, like I said, this to me, it was always special, right? The final four teams, the winners, you know, at the end of that day, you have this sort of feeling that, hey, now the battlefield is set, right?
Yeah.
These two teams get the stage. They get the stage for the next 2 weeks. You know, we're going to spend the next 2 weeks breaking down every little minute detail of both the matchup, the players, the funny stories, the coincidence. Hey, did you know that Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft?
Oh, goodness.
Kind of things like that, right? Yeah. But, you know, like I said, there was always something special. Yeah, I think they had this, you know, the quarterbacks would do a thing with the media before the championship game.
Yeah.
You know, the coaches would do that, right? So, you know, for the Niners, you know, from – I think I mentioned it to you off air, Alex, from 97 was our last one that we made in those dynasty years, right? So from 98 to 2010, that's 13 seasons. We made zero.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, and obviously in that was some of the dark times of the franchise's history. But – in the 13 years since then, from 11 to 2023, right? We've gone on to make it to seven now.
Yeah.
So yeah. Again, this is three in a row, four out of five, seven if you count the three. You know, going back to 11, 12, and 13. And interestingly enough, this is the fourth time in franchise history that we've gone three championship games in a row. That started the first time 1988, 89, 1990, and then 1992, 93, 94, of course, 2011, 2012, 2013, and then now again, 21, 22, and 23. Wow. I'll venture to say, man, if that COVID year didn't happen, who knows? We might be talking about five. But anyhow, this is going to be the 19th appearance. Of course, that's number one in football. No one is... I believe Pittsburgh has 15 or 16, so we're clear ahead, you know, until appearances there. Only 7 and 11, not a great record, you know. So, I mean, you hear 19 and you know we only have five championships. You know, when I say only, but you figure 19 title game appearances would have netted you more. But, you know, we have. You can ask Steve Young, even Joe Montana lost a couple title games. You know, so that's just something that, you know – we're hoping to avoid that this time because we've lost some heartbreaking ones the last 2 years. So
yeah.
What are your thoughts on that, man? NFC Championship. I don't, what does that mean to you, Alex?
Hey, man, it's where we belong. But something to mention with that record: 7 wins, 11 losses. I mean, you're just two NFC title games where you're even 500, right? If you win two of those, you're 9-9. So just luck hasn't been in our favor the last couple of years, but I mean, this is a like the players say, this is a different year. Something I wanted to mention, that that team, those teams, 2011 to through 2023, that coach, Jim Harbaugh, who after the 49ers went to NCAA, he coached for the Michigan Wolverines, who recently won the the title. A few weeks ago.
Quarterback there.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that they recently won the championship.
They did. They broke through. He finally got his ring.
He's coming back to the NFL. He's going to be, I think just today they announced he's going to be the new head coach of the LA Chargers. So
that's right. 5-year deal with the Chargers. And he has a quarterback ready there waiting for him in Justin Herbert. So I got to be honest, I'm shocked. I really thought he was going to be a lifer at Michigan, especially now that he's won a championship at his alma mater. You know, I think not everyone is as big of a college fan as they are football fans, pro football, it's just NFL. But it's a whole different world there, man. When you're at a program like Michigan, and they have a lot of history. In many ways, they're kind of like the Niners. You know, so much history, but just so much time had passed since they were last dominant and last, you know, winning championships.
Yeah.
So for him to go there, and I know I was one of his detractors at one point, saying, you know, well, he struggles to coach in big games, right? And he can't close out the deal in some of these close big games. So for him, yeah, to beat Nick Saban, who, if you're not a college fan, he's the Bill Belichick of college football.
Yeah.
Then the two were on the same staff for a number of years, so it's no coincidence why. But anyhow, you know, he got his. And yeah, he signed the deal with the Chargers. You know, I'm kind of shocked, no pun intended. I know he actually he finished his career there way back when, after playing with what he played for the Bears, the Colts, and the Ravens for a little bit, and then he went to the Chargers before retiring. Okay, nice. And yeah, Ryan Leaf was his teammate, I believe, for a year or two.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, but so he knows the ownership, he knows the family from his time there. But yeah, hey, congratulations to Jim Harbaugh. I'm looking forward to seeing Jim and John go up. They're going to play this year, so that should be a lot of fun. I guarantee you NBC will probably have that game on Sunday night.
Yeah, man, a decade later.
Yeah, but yeah, that's you know, like I said, again, 2011 to 13, those are some fun memories. I will thank Coach Harbaugh for that. But one thing we do have in common with that run is Green Bay twice. In that run, just like we have right now. So,
yeah, true.
I know a lot of Niner fans will relate to this. I think I got some gray hairs. I had a lot of stress watching that game on Saturday. To say it didn't go as expected would be putting it lightly. You know, I think one thing I want to say right away. So we won the game 24-21, of course, mm-hmm. You know, to advance. A huge credit to the defense for holding them to – there's three particular drives. The first one where we held them to three,
yep.
And I say this all the time from the other perspective, because usually it's our offense that opens up strong, goes right down the field, and then settles for three after taking 6-7 minutes off the clock. And what do I always say? When you put three on the board, you're leaving four on the field.
Yep.
Right? So we hold them to three, and you know, eventually after a couple punts and whatnot, the Niners are able to score that beautiful touchdown to Kittle. Which we'll get to all that in a second. But then we're able to hold him to three again and keep it at 7-6. And then the third possession that I'm talking about is where we stopped him on 4th-and-1. So to me, I think the defense just, you know, I know they had some moments where, you know, the Packers were moving the ball. They did have some sustained drives. But, you know, our special teams did them no favor with the kick return, which we'll get to again. Mm-hmm. But overall, hey, big shout-out to the defense.
Yeah, man, big shout-out. That 4th-and-1, I believe it was, or 4th-and-inches, I think they asked Fred Warner that question about, you know, what was going on around that time. And Fred Warner mentioned that they watched tape and that they like to line up quickly, no huddle, line up quickly and try to do that QB sneak. So. And then you can see, I think he was mic'd up for the game. You can hear him. As soon as they started lining up for that QB sneak, he got his defense in position to stop him. So great defensive effort right there.
I think the value of having two good linebackers, I say two because realistically in today's NFL, you don't have three on the field very often. right? No one lines up in base sets anymore on offense to the point where you have three linebackers anyway. So,
yeah.
But to have two, you know, excellent linebackers like we do in Greenlaw, who, again, player of the game, hands down.
Big play Dre.
It's a good thing. Yeah, big play Dre. I'm going to say you better get down next time you intercept the ball with less than a minute left to go in a playoff game. But
yeah, so something that comes off the page when you look at these numbers and something that is not common for the 49ers defense is allowing a 100-yard rusher. And Aaron Jones, man, he had some great runs. Early in the game, he had some great 7-yard, 8, 9-yard carries. He made the second and third down so much more easier for the Green Bay Packers. But towards the end, he had that huge breakout run, man. It was tough to watch. It was tough to watch. But shout out to Aaron Jones. We haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher since Halloween of 2021. And I believe that was Justin Fields, quarterback of the Bears. Yeah. But some other numbers. So the Packers rushed for 136. They passed for 194. That's a big key right there. 194 passing yards. So that's a great job by our defense. 49ers re-rushed for 111 yards, and we passed for 252. So, I mean, we're right there rushing, and it's just that, you know, our passing game, we had to do a couple extra plays towards that last drive to get that win. But something that we did take care of this game is that same nagging question that kept coming up. Can Brock Purdy lead us to victory, a fourth quarter comeback?
Yeah.
And we all saw it. We all saw it. It was I think Brian Baldinger, I haven't seen it completely, but he did a little 5-minute video on YouTube about that.
Was he in his bathroom when he did it?
What was that?
Was he in his bathroom when he did it?
Dude, it sounds like it, right?
Yeah. No, you know, all the fans. For those that don't get it, Brian Baldinger, who by the way, shout out to him. He gets excellent breakdown, film breakdown, one of the best in the business. People just make fun of him because it sounds like he's in a bathroom or a shed or something when he's recording. So.
Yeah, I think it's his mic. Yeah, whatever he's using. But, I mean, it was a great drive. It was clean. I mean, the passes, the one through to Conley, clean pass, man.
Oh, that was. And that's to a guy that's been here for a month.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I think he's been with the team in the past. I think Kyle has him on
on and off.
Yeah. So it's just a vet guy that Kyle can bring on. And in situations like this, when we need someone to step up,
Great you know what? Ironically, that looked like his best, you know, only real Purdy throw of the night, right? You know, usually those are the kinds of throws when he steps back and plants that back foot, he fires, you know, with confidence.
The one to George Kittle was a beauty.
Okay, yeah, that one was too.
That one was a beauty.
He had a few where the receivers kind of bailed him out. That one to Ayuk over the middle for a first down.
Mm-hmm.
When you see the back end zone angle of it, man, he had a tight window to put that ball. And then the one to Jennings where Jennings catches in the middle of four guys. That is just insane how that ball placement. I don't care what the talking heads say. Because at this point, look, Tom Brady had games in the playoffs. Right? You can pull up Tom Brady's playoff logs, even into the second half of his career, what I call that second act, right? The Gronk era. He had games where he didn't look great. You know, he didn't have five touchdowns and 400 yards passing in every game. So I think the problem you have with the way the media works around Purdy, the moment, he could have 350 yards passing and three touchdowns, and we won the game in a blowout. Then it would have been, he's surrounded by great weapons anyways, right? Why wouldn't he win? Right? The moment he has stats that aren't absolutely perfect, it's like, well, see, we said that he wasn't all that.
Yeah. Yeah, there was more positive takes on Jordan Love than there were on Brock Purdy.
Yeah, exactly. it was don't be wrong. Jordan Love, for playing on a 7th, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. Playing on a 7th seed, and I will give, Green Bay, they deserve their flowers. Because that is a team that, I'll be honest, put it in a way like this. They got hot at a time that they did when they were 3-6, right? They kind of got it going. I feel like they're a team where if the regular season went on another 3-4 weeks and they had a little bit more time to gel even more, I think they probably could have won the NFC. They might have been the team representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. I will go that far. I think they were that good.
Yeah.
Now, they're well coached. LaFleur runs the same program, the same system that we do here, with Kyle Shanahan. And, again, like I said, I think You know, but like I said, yeah, he definitely deserves his praise.
Yeah, yeah. Something we always mention every week is that turnover battle. We always know that if we're in the positive or at least neutral in the turnovers, we have a great chance to win the game. And we won the turnover battle 2-0. Big play, Dre. We'll talk about that shortly. But, yeah. You know, Packers had two fumbles that we missed. Brock Purdy had two picks that were dropped, including one pick six. So it was an ugly game. There was some opportunity out there. There was opportunity out there in the field, and we were able to capitalize.
Had a drop pick as well.
Yeah,
forgot to mention that we had a drop pick as well.
Okay, so. Yeah,
yeah.
So not the best game. Third downs though, our efficiency 10 out of 16 in third downs, which that's top notch, man. If you have a 10-16 third down conversion rate, you're most likely winning this game. Time of possession, it was 50-50, so both teams had the ball
for literally
the same amount of time.
It was like 30 minutes and 10 seconds or something for the Packers, and then 29-50 for the Niners, something like that. So.
And then the most glaring thing that everyone was, or I think what's being used to criticize Purdy is the rain, right? He started with the glove, got rid of it. There was a clip of him wiping his hand mid-play, mid-drop-back. Mid-snap.
Yeah, he takes a snap from shotgun. Holds the ball with his left hand, wipes his right hand, and then grabs the ball again and then throws.
Yeah, so that's the big talk. That's the concern. Honestly, that's not the end of the world, man. I think Steve Young said it best, or I'm not sure who said it, but they said who likes a wet ball? Who wants to throw a wet ball?
Yeah.
Not too concerned.
I think one other thing I want to point out, look, obviously – I'm not one to, cry about officials and refs after a win, but God, they got us for six penalties for 83 yards, and some ticky-tack stuff, in my opinion. Some of the penalties were legit, but they called one penalty on Green Bay all night for 5 yards. I just, come on, there's no way you're going to tell me Green Bay was just as flagged as we were throughout the year, that they somehow played an absolute perfect game outside of one, whatever it was, a false start, whatever they call them. So, obviously moving forward for this next game, we need to play a cleaner game, right? Those PIs really kill us at times. Those games where the defense is at a tough time.
Yeah, was it Ambry?
Really with a PI Ambry or a Thomas? Contact.
I think he had a PI.
Yeah, Ambry Thomas had a little bit of a rough time with that. So, and the worst part is it was on one of those exact situations I've talked about. The ball's underthrown.
Yep.
Right? The ball's way underthrown. To me, where it's almost they need to reevaluate that rule and call it uncatchable. Because what is he supposed to do? Get out of the way and let him go catch the ball?
Yeah, true. Uncatchable. I like that.
Oh, yeah. In his case, he did contact him unnecessarily. He had no reason to. Get your head up, turned around, make a play on the ball. Instead, don't reach for the guy and try to tackle him.
Yeah. Right, I think the panic mode of getting the receiver down, even if he does catch it, at least trying to get him down.
Yeah. Right? We didn't sack Love, but Bosa had 5 hits. That's a lot. No one else had more than one on either team. So 5 hits.
And I think that was a question towards him in one of the press conferences. He did mention that the sacks aren't there, but he also did mention that the sack is not a defining stat where, there's more important things than the sack. I think getting the pressure is the priority in this case.
Consistent pressure, disrupting their flow, right?
Disrupting, really,
that first drive, Aaron Jones ran tough. He ran well. And then that 50-yard run that he broke away. If you take that away, he didn't do much. We pretty much bottled him up. Other than those two drives, for the most part, I felt like he was bottled up right at the line. Maybe one or two runs where he scored it out for 5-10 yards. But, it's not like we had – he wasn't gashing us all game long for 30 carries for 180 yards and like that. So
he was keeping drives alive though. I think I did mention earlier, there was a lot of first downs where he was getting, there was a few first downs where he was getting some nice chunks and just continuing those drives. I think that was early.
Yeah.
Luckily our defense was able to stop him a few times and make them settle for the kick for the 3 points.
Yeah.
Couple notes here. So Armstead being back, of course, helped, right? I know this is his first game back in a few weeks, and I think he did mention that, a little bit of rust, a little bit of sluggish, but I guess just mentioning it's hard to come back in the NFL. You can't miss a few weeks and thinking you're going to come back and you're going to get right back into it. So Him second game being back, I think it's going to help big time. We did miss Farrell in the rush defense on the edge.
Cool. So, you know, other than that, Alex, man, just to kind of wrap up on Green Bay a little bit, McCaffrey, I feel like I was vindicated a little bit by McCaffrey and Kittle. Those are my two guys that I said would probably step up. And sure enough, they scored for all three touchdowns.
Yeah, true.
They accounted, I should say, for all three of our touchdowns. So McCaffrey, man, what a, you know, absolute trooper, man. I know he was a little banged up early or with had some issues with some stiffness or tightness.
I think his calves.
And, you know, some of that, I'm sure, comes from just from time off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, him, Kittle. Juwan Jennings, man, have a day. That was a huge performance. Huge, after, man. Debo goes out. I mean, him blocking guys into the Gatorade table. That's you know, every coach in America was loving that.
Loving it, man. Right? Yeah.
Loving it, right? So, you know, for him, you know, Kittle had a big day. He had that big touchdown. Then he had that big run. You know, Ayuk making catches, fingertip catches off the ground and then catches in, you know, traffic. And again, you know, what can you say for that? What else can you say about that game-winning drive, man? That was Purdy's moment, you know, when you get the ball, the camera's mm-hmm. on him. It's like, all right, here, kid, go write your history, yep. right?
And shout out to the O-line, the touchdown for McCaffrey. What a hold, man.
Oh, yeah,
beautiful absolutely. Hold. And then McCaffrey's balance to just take the hit, absorb it, right. bounce it off, walk into the touchdown.
That's what makes him special, his vision, his balance, his ability to close out, right, and actually score. How many times do you see runners, you know, take advantage of a big play like that, but then they end up not scoring, right?
Yeah.
So that was big on him to actually convert and get, you know, go get into the end zone. So, yeah, I think, look, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't pretty. And, you know, there's some chatter online about, oh, wow, that's not a deserving victory, quote unquote, whatever that means. Hey, man, I saw my team lose a fucking NFC championship game off of two fumbled punts. So whatever a deserving victory is, I don't give a fuck. You know? I'm sorry. Yeah. Anyone that's crying about it and wants to complain about it, you know, they could eat a bag. So
it's a playoffs, man. That. It's a different game. It's a playoffs.
This is what it takes. You got to be able to win. Got to win, man. It almost reminded me of how the San Francisco Giants would win. You know, during their run that they had, it was a few games leading up to those World Series runs, even in the World Series. Where they won a game or two here or there, right? Where it's like, wait, how the hell did they win that?
Yeah.
No business winning, but you pull it off.
Let's move forward. Let's talk about our matchup. Our opponent is the Detroit Lions, and well-deserved, man. I can't think of another NFC team that has been consistent all year, has been, in a way, a replica of a young 49ers team, like a 2019 49ers, right? Kind of coming out of, not really out of nowhere. Yeah. I think everyone was expecting for the Lions to win the division, NFC North.
The North, yeah. You know, Rodgers gone, right?
Yeah,
you know, but the Bears still figuring
two wins, right? Wild card, one divisional, one another NFC championship. They're feeling it. There are that city's yeah. is at the highest.
They're and I think they've captured the hearts of the general NFL fan base too.
Yeah, the right? underdog.
I mean, the other, you know, the Niners. We have our history. We've been there recently too, right? The Ravens, they've won recently. You know, the Chiefs, let's be honest, people are sick of them at this point.
Yeah.
All right. So it's like, all right, between those teams, here comes Detroit. They're looking at, you know, the new blood.
Yeah, there you go. Fresh
blood. They have not made an NFC championship game since 1991, and that's the only one they made ever. Before that, they it was back in the 50s. Actually, we've only played them twice, and once was in the NFL championship game in 1957, and they beat us.
Wow.
Yeah, 1957, and then we played them in 1983 in the divisional round. We beat them by 1 point in Candlestick Park.
Okay.
Yeah. But outside of that, you know, again, it's funny. You think, like, okay, Niners-Packers, what, 11 matchups now, or what is it, 10 matchups in the playoffs? Niners-Vikings have a ton of history, right? Niners-Bears have a ton of history. You know, Niners-Cowboys, Giants, even Eagles now, Redskins, you know, yeah, and then those are the main teams, right? Obviously, the NFC South, those teams don't have as much playoff history as – oh, I edit that a little bit, but yeah. Outside of the after Redskins. But, you know, the Lions, for a team that's been around so long, they just haven't been very good. You know, we haven't had a lot of history. We don't even play them all that often. You know, like I mentioned before, we play on a rotation.
Yeah.
And we only catch the Lions every 3 years, it feels like, right?
Yeah, the last matchup here is going to be 2021 week one. This is actually Dan Campbell's first game as an NFL coach. So I was telling you, Sean, off air, this is a in a way full circle for Dan Campbell. In 2021, he was going up against Kyle Shanahan week one. He, rookie coach, first year, he's looking across at a coach that's been at it for, at that time, was it 4 years already, 4 or 5 years already? Mm-hmm. And just watching what he's built from the ground up, and I think he took that and kind of used it as a blueprint, you know? Of course, doing it in his way, but for him to now be one game away from the Super Bowl, I think it's in a way full circle for him. So I'm pretty sure he's in his emotions right now. But that one was a game that we won 41-17. I'm sorry, we were leading 41-17.
Oh, yeah, no, we were leading.
Yeah, and then they got a couple of garbage time touchdowns, brought it back up to 41-33. So, I mean, they fought. That was a great showing for his first game as a head coach. 2018, there was a home opener in week two.
I was there for that one, actually. that's when Jimmy Garoppolo actually threw a pick six that was called back. On a lucky call.
Yeah, that's true.
It should have been. We almost blew our lead that day. We were up by 10. We almost ended up losing. But yeah, I was there for that one.
That was the game right before Jimmy tears his ACL. Next ACL, week, yeah. It's the Chiefs, and that's when that tragic thing happened.
Yeah.
2015, we lost. It was in December under Jim Tom Sula, right?
Yes.
That was right after we lost Jim Harbaugh. He went to Michigan.
Yeah.
But yeah, those dark days with Jim Tomsula. 2012 home opener week two, I believe we won that game.
Funny, I was there at that one too. Yeah, that was Sunday Night Football. That was right after our home opener, after we had lost to the Giants the January prior, and it was the Harbaugh Jim Schwartz reunion, which coincidentally that was the last matchup prior, week six, 2011. We were 4-1, and you know we were riding high. Remember that was 2011. That was a Cinderella year. Detroit was 5-0 entering that game, so they were even better than we were.
Oh, wow!
Yeah. And yeah, I remember. God, it was a 10 a.m. game. I'm not gonna lie. Waking up late. When I woke up, I think it was 10-0 Lions.
Ooh.
And yes, we fought back. We clawed back. Alex led the game winning drive. To the game winning pass went to Delanie Walker, right at the goal line. And yeah, of course, for those that don't remember, Harbaugh ran over to midfield to give a handshake to Jim Schwartz, who was the coach of the Lions at the time. And he, you know, does a kind of a handshake and then he pats him on the back.
Yeah.
But the way it looks, Harbaugh's he's 6'4". He's a big guy. He played quarterback in the NFL. Schwartz kind of goes flying, and the next thing you know, he's trying to fight him, and the players are all trying to fight.
Yeah.
It was just a mess. So
where is Jim Schwartz? Is he Chiefs defensive coordinator?
No, he's the Browns defensive coordinator. He gives us problems. He gives Kyle Shanahan fits. Right? But yeah, overall, you know, not a lot of history versus Detroit. You know, when it's, you know, it's like Chicago, feels like we play them every other year or every year. Green Bay. We've played Green Bay 17 times in the same since 2002 when the divisions were realigned. In that same time span, we only played Detroit 9 times.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, not a lot of history. Although, interestingly enough, we won our first Super Bowl in their stadiums. So.
Yeah, and at that time, that was the state of the art, right? The Silver Dome. And 1981, well, the season of 1981, that was the Super Bowl was going to be hosted there. And yeah, that was, we won our first Super Bowl in Detroit in their stadium. So
a little bit of symmetry.
Fun fact about Jared Goff, he does wear number 16 because of Joe Montana. So he's a 49er fan. He went to Cal. He's a Bay Area kid. He's having a great season. He's had a great season. 4,500 yards passing. I believe he's at 30 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, I want to say. So he's pretty close to Purdy. Not as, I guess, efficient as Purdy. I believe Purdy has about two extra yards yards per attempt. So Purdy's a little more efficient there. But, hey, Jared Goff is no slouch. He can put up some numbers, and, I mean, he can tear us apart.
He can. He's the type of guy, you know, I mean, I equate him a little bit to Matthew Stafford, ironically. Kirk Cousins, even. You know, guys that put up prolific numbers. I mean, you know, we're talking 4,500, maybe 5,000 yards, depending on how they choose to call their plays, right?
Yeah.
But the problem with them is just, you know, getting it done under pressure. If you can rattle them a little bit with pressure, those guys, they tend to fold. And that sounds generic because who doesn't, right?
But yeah, true.
You can really get in their head. And, you know, Jared Goff is 3-6 against us lifetime. His three wins, one came in 2017. It was a Thursday night game when it was McVay and Shanahan's rookie year. And then 2018, they swept us. That's when, you know, the Rams were going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And we were not very good. We were injured, right? We had injuries all across the board. But outside of that, you know, he's 0-6.
A couple of players to look at with the Lions that may cause us some trouble is their two running backs, Gibbs and Montgomery. Both, I think Montgomery, no, did one of them pass 1,000? I think they were very close.
Montgomery cleared 1,000. Okay, Gibbs was like 30 yards short.
Yeah. Gibbs's yards per attempt is above 5. I think Montgomery.
He's been running strong.
Yeah. I think Montgomery's like 4.6 a carry. So the main key to this game is stopping that run. We can't allow another Aaron Jones 100-yard rushing day for the Lions. So definitely we got to keep an eye on the run. Some of their weapons, their tight end, Laporta, right? Rookie, but he is legit tight end. I mean, 10 touchdowns for the season. Yeah.
He could stake a claim for best tight end in the league right now. I mean, that's not even going out of the picture. No, one thing I want to add in with the running backs, if I understand correctly, and I haven't had a chance to look too much at the way they run the ball, Green Bay presented a matchup problem for us because they run some of the same stuff that we do, the outside zone run, right, with the zone blocking that puts guys on ice skates on the edge. Well, that's how they lose contain. So I think Detroit doesn't run that as much. I think they're more of a downhill, just a power team, power running. So I think we fare better against that. So
another weapon that the Detroit Lions have is the wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown, who is having had a great year, man. 1,500 yards receiving. You don't see that every day. So, I mean, great job. He's a few years, right? A few years into the league.
That is right. Yeah, that's he quietly had a very good year, man. Mooney Ward's going to have his hands full with him. So I think, what is it? He said, what was the total that he put up this year? 119 catches. God, that's insane. For 1,515 yards. I mean, you know, Detroit does air the ball out. I think Goff was what? He was ninth in attempts. So, you know, top 10 and definitely in attempts. Aside from him, I mean, they have, like I said, two-headed monster at running back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, a receiver, obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown. It's a heck of a name, mm-hmm. if you ask me. Yeah, but after him and Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs was their third leading receiver. All right, so Josh Reynolds, who is actually banged up a little bit at the moment. So, you know, you have, there's a big drop-off, point being, right? So after St. Brown versus where the Packers had spread the ball type of mentality, and you saw that. You know, we predicted it and we saw it. You know, they spread the ball out nicely to all of their weapons. Jameson Williams is a guy to look out for. I think Khalif Raymond, he's another guy that I think might be. They've had some injuries, if I remember correctly. Let's see. Yeah, Khalif Raymond is the one that's banged up right now.
Okay.
And Laporta is listed as questionable with a knee injury, but yeah, he's going to play.
He's playing. Yeah. He's playing, yeah. A couple more things with Detroit. Dan Campbell loves to go on fourth.
Oh, yeah.
He's actually attempted it 40 times. He's 21
on 40
attempts, yep. So right on 50%. Comparison to us, we've only done it 13 times, and we're 7-13, so pretty close to 50%
as well. That's some perspective right there, right? We've gone for it 13 times, and I felt like even that was quite a lot this year. You know, that's something we talked about in the offseason. We talked about, you know, last year in Philadelphia, right? The first drive of the NFC Championship game, we hold Philly to, I think, like a 4th-and-5, and then they throw the deep ball to Devontae Smith, which was not a catch, but they call it a catch, and, you know, we know what happened.
True.
Right? But yeah. The same thing here. It's like, you know what, Kyle Shanahan, I mean, he's not an old-school coach, but the thing is, there's so many coaches that are using this analytics stuff and, you know, that are so much even younger than him now that he's almost feels old school by default, right?
Yeah. Let me give you an example. The Packers game, Matt LaFleur opts to go for fourth, that fourth and one, when he could have kicked it and gotten 3 points, and that was the difference in the game, right? Not even counting the kick that their kicker missed. I mean, you're talking about winning a game if you just, you know, if you play your cards right and take the points, especially against our defense.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we didn't even – we skipped, glossed over the kickers, but, you know, for – We had one blocked, then, you know, their kicker missed one. So that's where I feel like momentum came back. Early. But yeah, you know, Detroit 27th against the pass, and they are second against the run. So that definitely should be interesting to see, you know, how disciplined we stay with the run game, right? With McCaffrey, and I really hope I want to say, and this is just my hunch, that because it was a wet weather game, that's why we didn't see Eli Mitchell and Jordan Mason, because you know Kyle doesn't trust guys with fumbles.
Yeah, so
I really think, hopefully, you know, it's supposed to be 71 degrees and sunny. You know, your kind of classic San Francisco Bay Area weather game, right? Forecast. Yep. So, I mean, if that's the case, I really hope we see, you know. And on top of that, it's because I think, as good as McCaffrey is, there's a reason why change of pace is the thing in the NFL, right?
Yeah.
You know, you bring in Mitchell and then you bring in Mason. They run with a different style. So if anything, it gives the defense something else to have to worry about, right? Mm-hmm. Let's give him a little bit of a breather. So I'm curious to see, you know, we talked about Belichick before, right? And he used to always amaze me because throughout those years, I would pay so much attention to those matchups and the rankings, right? Because, I mean, obviously our Niners weren't in it, but I still watched just as closely, right? So you would say, okay, yeah, all right, here we go. Divisional round, AFC divisional round. It's going to be the Patriots versus the Titans. You know, this is like when McNair and all those guys were there. So, their defense is ranked third against the rush, and they're average against the pass. So, yeah, you're thinking, okay, well, they're going to probably pass the ball. And lo and behold, they run the ball 30 times for 200 yards. So since I'm just curious how disciplined we stay with our game plan, with our attack. Because 27th against the pass and second against the rush. They gave up a lot of touchdowns on the ground, but that's always misleading to me, because usually you pass the ball down the field and then you run it in from the 5 yard line, right?
True.
But the yards per attempt, they were number 3. Passing net yards per attempt, they were 29th. I think Kittle's going to have a good game, man.
Yeah.
They don't do well against tight ends from what I read.
Yeah, man, it's tough to block Kittle, man. He's right. You got to look out for him.
What was the stats? Yeah. You had some stats up here. Puka Nacua, what do you have? Almost 200 yards? Right, he killed him in that divisional, the wild card game.
Oh, against the Lions.
Yeah, this is Detroit secondary. They gave up a big game. Sorry, a big game to Puka Nacua. That was 9 catches for 181. That is insane, right? And then last week against the Bucks, they gave up a big game to Mike Evans. 8 catches, 147. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what? I'm really hoping that Brandon Ayuk ends up being the player of the game. I think if it's one of those games where he just sort of breaks out. You know, 9 catches, 150, 2 touchdowns, you know, along with Kittle doing his thing. I think that will be big for us.
Yeah.
It goes without saying. I hope it's a game where we score early and we're up 14-0, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to be playing score with 6 points into the third quarter, you know?
Yeah, something I want to add to that. So you mentioned Detroit's defense, 27 against pass, second against run. This tells me if we can have a sustainable run game, if we're running the ball 4, 5, 6 yards at a time, we're getting first downs, then we're going to be shredding them against the pass. Because once we're passing and it's 50-50, they don't know if we're running or passing. Those play actions to Kittle, I mean, that's when we should be able to shred them if we're able to sustain that run. And that's the big question, right? That's the recipe for a Kyle Shanahan offense. Can we have success early in the run game, which would allow us to pass with more success, which will allow us to gain an advantage, which will allow us to continue to run and kill that clock? So that's the recipe that I see. When you show me those stats, I see, okay, breakthrough for the run. and then we should be able to pass. We should be able to carve him up willingly.
Yeah, I agree, man. That is going to be the name of the game. So we can get that run game established. And you know, I think, again, the weather, the clean weather, not only on Sunday, but I believe, and I think, I know we're recording this on Wednesday. I know there was a little bit of rain throughout the Bay Area today, but it looks clear from here on out. So
yeah, it's going to be good for Sunday.
It's going to be soggy and sort of still wet, but no, yeah. It looks absolutely clear. 71 and sunny, you know, on Sunday. So
yeah, man. The biggest question mark right now is Debo, right? I think right now, Wednesday, We don't know all the details. I think it's still uncertain. He did not practice today. Of course, we still have a couple more days before the weekend arrives, so we'll see if he gets there. I truly expect Debo will play. Kyle was asked today about his status, and of course, Kyle, he knows about strategy. He doesn't want to reveal if Debo's going to play or not. Why he's going to give the Lions a heads up so they can prepare, you know, and be ready for, you know, a game with or without Debo? No, so Kyle is going to wait until the last very minute, which is what, Saturday?
I believe
Sunday morning.
Oh no, it could just be Sunday. Game time decision, right? Whatever.
Yeah, game time decision. He's going to play. He's most likely going to play.
He was in his jersey. He was running on a separate field. So he didn't participate in team practice, but he was out there running drills on his own. So I think it sounds just more like a pain threshold thing than anything, right?
Yeah. He's going to play, right? If you're Debo's caliber type of player, you're going to play.
I mean, you saw him in 2021, that run we had, you know, in Dallas, then in Green Bay, and then L.A. You're going to have to keep him off the field. In some other way. Otherwise, yeah, if he's healthy enough to go, he'll be out there.
He'll be out there. Yeah, and I think one of the DBs, I think it was C.J. Gardner-Johnson, called Debo a running back who can't run routes. So I'm pretty sure Debo wants to play.
Yeah. That's why I think he was an Eagle, right? He was one of those former Eagles.
He was a Saint, I believe.
Oh, Saint. Okay, yeah.
Maybe he was an Eagle. I feel like he was an Eagle. Maybe he's been bouncing around. I know it's a guy that I wanted. I think we took our punter instead of him in the fourth round a few years ago.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Cool, man.
Yeah, he was an Eagle. He was an Eagle last year. So
there you go. So one year was an Eagle.
That dog after that game.
So he hates us.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game, man. It's deserving. I would rather lose to the Lions than lose to the Packers or the Cowboys. So if we do face defeat this game, yeah, you know what? Best of luck to the Lions in the Super Bowl. But nah, we're going
to
win.
Yeah, you know what? Look, hey, no disrespect to the Detroit Lions, man. Look, my honest take, all in all, after breaking everything down, it's kind of similar to Green Bay, right? A little bit of a Cinderella story. I know they had expectations. And hey, kudos to them for actually making it, you know, to the winning the division, winning two playoff games, right? That means a lot for that city, man. They've been so bad for so long. It's just, you know, it's about time they have something to kind of root for. Yeah, but I think in this case, man, the Cinderella story ends here for them. And we're going to move on.
Agree.
Any picks in the AFC side? I know we didn't even bother breaking it down.
I think everyone in the U.S. wants the Ravens to win because we don't want to see the circus that the Kansas City Chiefs are.
They've just become a circus, man. I mean, hey, hold on. When did Mahomes' wife become some celebrity all of a sudden?
Fuck, man. I don't know.
I mean, at least Taylor Swift is a successful singer. What the fuck is Brittany Mahomes ever done? God, man. Like you said, dude, they're a circus. It's like, you know... Oh, God. What do they think? They're the Lakers or something with the celebrities showing up to their games?
Yeah, man. Either way, we're going to have a rematch of the 2012 Super Bowl or the 2019 Super Bowl. So we're going to hopefully be able to get some vengeance on one of these two, which, you know what? I am hoping it's the Ravens. I think they'll be a fun Super Bowl. I don't want to see Mahomes there, not against us. The wound is too soon. That Ravens team is completely different. Same coach, different team, same mindset. They're tough, man. So
same, right?
I'm up for a Niners-Ravens Super Bowl. But we'll see, man. I'm excited for it. I'm pretty sure you are, too. It's going to be at 3 p.m., 3:30 kickoff.
It's an odd number here. 3:30 kickoff. So. NFC always goes second in odd number seasons. It's 2023. That's what last year we had to play at 12, which, you know, didn't go in our favor, but.
Cool, man. Honestly, just win. I'm not really going to say any score.
Get the job done. I don't give a
if it's 1 point. Yeah, this is the playoffs. You win or go home. So we'll find a way. We're going to be there. Everyone's ready. Everyone's ready. And we're playing at home. Huge advantage.
I have 27-14 final Niners.
27-14?
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. I'll agree with you. 27-14. Put that into the universe, man. 27-14. Yeah. Let's
do it. And I think Brandon Ayuk is the player of the game.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my pick.
Okay. I like it. I'll say player of the game is going to be Nick Bosa. I'm waiting for him to have a game, dude. I'm waiting for Nick Bosa to have 2 sacks.
A lot of buzz right now. He hasn't had a sack since 2021. Yeah.
This is Jared Goff. He doesn't move. So, come on.
And then I'm actually going to surprise you here, man. I think Kansas City is going to win that game.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a Niners-Chiefs rematch.
Let's do it.
And it's also an odd number of seasons. I think visually it's going to look the same. We're going to wear white. They're going to wear red in the Super Bowl. So, I mean, obviously we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but I'm picking one, the Chiefs to win and then the Niners to win.
All right, I'm picking Ravens and Niners. Let's do it.
All right. We shall see, man. Like I said, best time to be a football fan. Championship Sunday.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right. I think that's going to be it for us. We'll be here next week, hopefully with some good news. Hopefully
with a Super Bowl preview edition of the podcast. That'll be a first for us, guys. That'll be a special feeling. But until then. Here we are. We're signing off on for this week, guys. Let's go Niners.